And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard the Athletics Can't Wait Jets podcast, your nonstop shop for all things Jets. Now here are your hosts, Tim McMaster and Connor Hughes. Listen safely.
Can't wait!
Good morning, Jets fans. We are getting an early start, Tuesday, October 19th. This is the Can't Wait podcast. Hope you're recharged after the bye week and ready to go. Tim McMaster here along with Connor Hughes and Marissa Morris. Thanks for checking us out, whether you're watching us live on YouTube or listening later on Apple or Spotify. Leave us a review, a thumbs up, whatever you can, if you can. That always helps us out as we continue to try to grow this podcast. Lots to get to. We're going to do a mailbag today because that's our bi-week tradition on this podcast. Robert Saleh also spoke on Monday coming out of the bye week. We'll react to that. But first, it was a big weekend for our producer, Marissa Morris, who bachelorette party, and not just a bachelorette party, I give her credit. And the reason we can talk about this on a football podcast is because it was a football themed bachelorette party. The final game before she takes his name. That was the motto, right, Marissa?
Yeah. My sister did an incredible job planning a whole football themed. I mean, like, I'd never want to miss any of Michael's games. So, you know, I said when we were trying to plan something, like, hey, why doesn't all my cousins come to Cleveland for a game? Like, that'll be so fun.
Sure, they love that.
It's a top 10
bachelorette party destination.
Yeah.
Cleveland's not there.
We had such a good time, though.
Extend it to 100.
Half of them don't know what's going on in the game. But, you know, we had all the Gatorade bottles and we had the shirts that said like Team Bride, and it was very cute. My sister did such a good job, and you know, I did plan it also, being the producer that I am, plan it around the Jets bye week. The Eagles played on Thursday and the Bills did not play till Monday night, so it was a great weekend. I'm still tired but doing good. Ready for week seven.
So that's good. And you were here before Connor, and, well, as usual.
Yes. And I recorded all the ads ahead of time, so doing good.
That's not surprising.
The countdown is on how many days now to the big day?
Well, the sign on Sunday said 132, so I guess 130? 130? I know there's a lot of stuff for me to do between.
But there's
going to
be more games before that.
Obviously, but like, you know, it was like the
first. The sign was a lie.
Connor.
Oh my God. That's not the final game. You got like four more games before you take the big name.
I know, but like, before they come, and it rhymed so cute. So it was like,
it did.
You know.
All right, I'll give him that. For a second, because I was trying to do that math
in
my head.
It
was like,
so
I'm fairly
confused.
Certain you're getting married like around the combine.
After the season.
Yeah, I was very confused by that one. That one, you threw me for a loop. It's too early for that. A little too early for that.
Math.
Can't be pulling fast ones. I'm about to go to Brie and be like, Marissa's wedding's right around the corner. What are we doing?
Classic.
All right. So to the Jets, or do you want to complain, Connor, about our picks?
I'll complain when we later in the show. I'll complain for the second episode, and then before we do end this show though, because I'm not gonna. We'll get all the Jets talk in first, and then I'll do the whole like disclaimer of like we need to get a sound effect or something like that. It's like we're about to not talk about the Jets. Like get that little like sound bite or whatever. When we get our new logo finalized in the gear, we're gonna open it up with doing that, but. I should tell you guys how I got viciously attacked by a swarm of hornets on the golf course on Wednesday or earlier this week. So I got to give you guys that that lowdown on how that happened, because that was not pleasant or enjoyable. And oh boy, I got attacked by a swarm of hornets. That was fun.
I might have to reach out to the golf course and see if we can obtain some security video of that. I think the listeners would greatly appreciate that.
Yeah, only me. It was bad.
All right. Before we get to the latest golf shenanigans with Connor, let's talk about the Jets. And let's first start with the press conference on Monday. Robert Saleh coming out of the bye week. Obviously, Connor, most of the questions revolved around, hey, what did you guys do to fix things during the bye week? What did you think of the answers he gave?
Oh, they were a little boring, but I mean, that's kind of his thing, right? Is that Salah's not exactly an open book. And he's, you know, Adam Gase was you know, I think Robert Salah is quietly molding into a combination of somebody who is more likable than Adam Gase, obviously, by the fan base, but tells you about as much as Todd Bowles does. So he just kind of, where Todd would very easily three letters be like yes or two letters say no. I mean, that was kind of like the Todd Bowles thing. And he just, you know, he didn't see how the media or talking to the media was ever going to really benefit him in doing his job. So starting in like 2016, 2017, he was like, I'm just not. These press conferences are going to be 3 to 5 minutes. I'm going to not say anything, and then I'm going to go back to coaching the football team because I don't see how this is going to benefit me in any way. And then with Adam was much more of an open book. Like, although fans kind of got the, you know, perception that he was like this disgruntled asshole, like that wasn't the case at all. I mean, he was, you know, there was a member of the media who obviously is, you know, well known now, like just, you know, they basically fought every single day for every single camp, which ruined a lot of the press conferences for the rest of us, because the day that that person wasn't there, Adam was a completely different person. You know, it was, the stress was gone, the tension was gone, and he would just kind of talk to you, and he was open. He was honest. He would explain to you what he was doing, what they weren't doing, what they were going to try to do this week. Robert is kind of like that melding of, he's not going to tell you what he's doing, but he's going to be nice in telling you that he's not going to tell you what he's doing. So obviously the big talking point this entire week, and what this big talking point is going to be for until the Jets get it fixed, is the offense in the first half, is the fact that the Jets are an atrocious first half football team. We're not talking about a team that can't score on their first possession, which is usually what you hear when people talk about, you know, an offense that's struggling to start games. It's that they're not scoring on their first drive. The Jets are not scoring on their first drive. They're not scoring in the first half, period. I mean, what is it? It's now 13 points, one touchdown, zero first quarter points. I think they picked up one first down on their first drive of games. Not points, not field goals, not one touchdown, one first down on their first drive of football games. And that struggle and that issues that they are having to start games, and the issues out of the gate are leading to these defensive breakdowns, because you basically have a unit on the other side of the ball now that come the fourth quarter has basically played 5 and 6 quarters of snaps. So when the offense finally gets their shit together and the offense finally figures things out and the offense finally gets this team back into the game, but now they need a defensive stop because they basically spotted the other team a half of action without doing anything. The defense is so beaten down and so exhausted from having to exert all of that effort through so many snaps to start games that they can't make a stop when the Jets need it. And they need to figure out why they're going three and out. They need to figure out why they're not scoring points. And Salah said that they have made changes. They have made adjustments. They're subtle is the way that he described it, was his word. He said that we are not, as the media, going to be able to tell any difference, but they went down, they looked at things, they looked at ways they can spark this team, and they're going to do it this week. And hopefully they hope that it pays some big dividends in New England when they travel up to Foxborough, and we'll see. As far as like everything else, I mean, you said the entire offensive staff went through to see what Zach Wilson does well, what he doesn't do well. They're going to keep hammering home what he does well and what he doesn't do well. They believe what Salah said is that they are, or I think he kept saying the word sounded or something like that, or along those lines. It was a weird word choice where I was like, I don't really understand that one. But basically paraphrasing him is that he thinks that he's found the fix, and he believes that the Jets have fixed their first half struggles, and they're coming out of the bye. They're going to start much quicker against the Patriots, and we'll see if that's the case. If not, I mean, I don't know what else you can do. I really don't.
Start keeping track of draft position, that's for sure. Yeah. They'll also get should get Marcus May back. They should get Davis back. So that should help the defense out a little bit, as the defense maybe tired a little bit after as much downs as they played in those first five games. All right, let's move on to the mailbag then. Lots of good questions. Thanks for getting them in on Twitter. We'll also keep an eye on the chat and see if anything good comes through there too to throw in. But we're going to start with Notorious Pez, Connor. He says, what happened with Moore? He went from a once-in-a-generation player in camp to barely hearing his name on Sunday. Is it him, Zach, the offensive coordinator, or all of the above?
Yeah, so I've gone back and forth on this because this is among the more surprising developments of the season. And yeah, Moore missed a game and a half, I think. I do think, I'll preface it by saying that I do think part of it has to do with the time that he missed in training camp, where he missed that time with the quadriceps injury. And then I think part of it does have to do with the fact that he had no preseason snaps. So the first time he ever really saw live NFL action was week one against the Panthers. And, you know, I think that probably caused some slowness. And then obviously he had the concussion, which cost him basically a game and a half because he didn't play the second half after he had this concussion on the end of round. And then he missed a game as well. But looking at this, what I go back to, and, you know, what the Jets are, I'll put it this way. So I personally think, and this is just my opinion, the Jets don't necessarily totally agree with this, although Saleh has started to make reference to this might be the case. When the Jets first drafted Elijah Moore, and you can go back and look at it because we were all writing it, the initial reaction was the Jets drafted Elijah Moore. What does this mean for Jamison Crowder? And the reason why that was the initial point two after making point one of the Jets just got a playmaker is because the vast majority of Elijah Moore's college snaps were played from the slot. That's what he was. Is he was electric. He was dynamic. They got the ball to him in a million different ways. But if you look at where he lined up on the vast majority of plays, he lined up as a slot receiver. And that's not totally uncommon because he's under 6 feet. He's incredibly elusive. Yes, he can get down the field and stretch the field, but he's best with the ball in space. He's best with using his agility and quickness to separate from defenders and safeties and whoever's there in the middle. And he's so smart that he's able to find the hole in the zone. He's your prototypical, or he has all of the skill sets of your prototypical slot receiver with then the game-changing, game-breaking ability to really take his skill to the next level and take, you know, where most slot receivers just catch the ball, go down like Wes Welker type guys. He has the ability to stretch the field. He can also go deep and things of that nature. So that's why right away, all of us kind of said, oh, does this mean, young team, you're just now going to try to flip Jamison Crowder, cut Jamison Crowder, trade Jamison Crowder, and just hand the slot job to Elijah? And Saleh said no, and Douglas said no. When we saw Elijah making the vast majority of his plays, it was during OTAs and minicamp. During OTAs and minicamp, he was lining up as the slot receiver. He was not lining up outside because Jamison Crowder during OTAs was in that contract holdout. And then during minicamp, he had his little acclimation period, so he didn't do any team drills. So the Jets' three starting receivers were Keelan Cole outside, Corey Davis outside, and then Elijah Moore in the middle. Once Jamison Crowder got healthy, and you've seen Jamison Crowder's a very good slot receiver, but Jamison Crowder doesn't have any ability to play outside. The same goes for Braxton Berrios. So what the Jets have tried to do here, both when Jamison Crowder isn't on the field and then also when Jamison Crowder has been on the field, because Crowder missed some time as well, and that's when you saw Berrios play in the slot, is, as Saleh said, they're trying to get their best players on the field at all times. So because Berrios has no ability to play outside and Crowder has no ability to play outside and Elijah Moore, the Jets believe, can play outside, what they're trying to do is get their three best receivers on the field at most points in time, which means Corey Davis, and that means Elijah Moore, and that means Jamison Crowder. And the way that they have to do that is Elijah Moore outside, Corey Davis outside, Jamison Crowder in the slot. That's how they get their best on the field. In my opinion, that's coming somewhat at the expense of what Elijah Moore is best at. You know, where I think what we've learned very early on is that the reason why the vast majority of NFL scouts and NFL talent evaluators said, yeah, this kid's a game-changing, game-breaking talent, but he's a slot guy. Like, that's what he did in college. That's what he does best. That's where he's going to fit in the NFL. Not all slot guys can just go outside. This isn't Madden where you can just put him out there. I mean, there's a reason why there are so few sub-6-foot outside receivers. I mean, it's better when you're a bigger-bodied guy, when you have the Denzel Mims mold, when you have the Corey Davis mold. So I think a good portion of this is that, and a good reason why Elijah Moore hasn't taken off, is one part because he's playing a little bit out of position, which, you know, we wrote about before the bye, is that I think he's better as a slot receiver. And if he was playing strictly slot receiver, you'd see his production take off significantly more. That's part one. Part two is that I've been very disappointed in the ways that the Jets have used Elijah Moore. And I'm not talking about the way that he lined up on the field. I'm not talking about, you know, him being an outside receiver. I'm talking about, like, after the Jets drafted him, I remember talking to a couple people around the league, talking to people within the Jets building, talking to Saleh, and just kind of saying, like, man, like, what, give me, like, the lowdown on this kid. Like, I've always said this before to you guys a million times, like, I'm not a scout. Like, when I comes to college tape and college players, like, I'm not a huge college football fan, so I don't watch a ton of college football. So I rely on the scouts that I know that do this, and I rely on Dane Brugler, who does this, and I rely on guys who study this in ways that I don't because I'm covering the NFL. And I was like, a lot of people that I've talked to have kind of made reference to, like, how dynamic this guy once the ball is in his hands. And I was led to believe back then that the Jets were going to use Elijah like the 49ers used Deebo Samuel, where, yeah, he's running plays out of the slot. Yeah, he's running plays outside. But you see Deebo in the backfield. You see Deebo getting the ball on reverses. You see Deebo on jet sweeps. You see him on end arounds. You see Deebo running routes. But also, more than anything, you see the 49ers trying to get Deebo Samuel the ball, period. That it doesn't matter if it's handed to him. It doesn't matter if it's tossed to him. It doesn't matter if it's a screen, a drag, a draw, an actual route, anything like that. They just want the ball in his hands because good things happen when the ball is in his hands. It almost seems like the Jets went in with that idea of, we just want to get the ball to Elijah Moore because when the ball is in his hands, magic happens. And that's the case. That is what this guy does. When the ball is in Elijah Moore's hands, magic happens. For some reason, the Jets have gone from, let's just get this kid the ball and see what he does, to, we're using him as an outside receiver. He's going to run patterns that an outside receiver runs, and if he's open, we're going to get him the ball. You know, when was the last time we saw a screen pass to Elijah Moore? You know, we saw one end around where he had the concussion. Where's just the plays designed, the toss? Why isn't he lining up in the backfield? I mean, that what the Jets need to do a better job of after this bye, more than anything else with Moore, is just get him the ball. Watch Kadarius Toney, the player the Giants drafted, who, you know, obviously I've made fun of a million times. Watch the way that Jason Garrett, of all people, used Kadarius Toney against the Dallas Cowboys. That's how the Jets should be using Elijah Moore. I know Corey Davis is your best receiver. I know Denzel Mims is probably your most athletic, physically imposing receiver. I know they love the speed and the high pointing ability of Keelan Cole. But this offense's best playmaker, the one player in this offense who has the ability to take any ball and just go, any play and just go, that's Elijah Moore. Elijah Moore is the one game-changing, game-breaking player on this roster. I saw him take a 5-yard slant 80 yards to the house in minicamp. I've seen him stretch the field. I've seen him just, again, when the ball is in his hands, good things happen. When you have a player like that, and the Jets haven't had a player like that in quite some time, you want to get him the ball. And once you get him the ball, let him work. They did not do that the first 5 weeks, and they have to do that coming out of the break. So why hasn't he had the production? I think a part of it has to do with him playing outside and not the slot, but also a good part of it has to do with them just not giving him the ball, them trying to pigeonhole him into just, you're an outside receiver, you're going to play outside receiver, and not, this guy's a difference maker, let's make him make a difference, or have him make a difference.
Okay, so this next question is from Dan B, and I believe Dan is in the chat a lot, and we've talked a lot about this throughout the season so far, but what would you say are some things you've seen that led to you to believe the Jets are on track in this building process? I guess if you don't believe anything, you could say that too, but.
That's a tough one. I would say that honestly, it's.
A part of Dan B, like, why Dan B has Dan B has made Connor Hughes speechless. So yeah. Shout out to Dan B because it takes a lot to do that.
Yes, yeah, really. I mean, they're competing. They are, like, you can tell that. I mean, the reason why I have a trouble, like, answering this question is because, like, you're just gonna hear the same song and dance that I've said so many times during this losing streak, so many times over the last like 10 years or 10 years, you know, that they've been in this playoff drought and since I've been on the beat and all this stuff, is that, like, oh well, you know, you've acquired all these draft picks. And oh well, you have a general manager that people say good things about. And oh, you have a coach that people like, and you have a franchise quarterback that the organization believes in. But the fact is like I've now, if you want to call it devolved, you can call it devolved, but I've gotten to the point where I'm just like, show me now. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not buying the song and dance. I'm not sitting here and gonna tell you, like, oh, just trust me, just trust the Jets. Because the fact is like, when you haven't made the playoffs in a decade, when you've won three games over the last year and a half, you know, when you've struggled in the ways that this team has struggled, you don't deserve the benefit of the doubt. I mean, they have a hell of a lot more misses than they do hits. They have a hell of a lot more complete implosions than they do nice, successful runs. I mean, it's, I'm in the boat now of like, I'm not just gonna, I've given the Jets the benefit of the doubt before. You know, when they hired Adam Gase and I was like, that's not really the direction I would have gone. I gave him the benefit of the doubt. Like, okay, we'll give you the benefit of the doubt. When they made some of the decisions that they've made in free agency recently, where they chose not to spend, they chose not to go after Jack Conklin, they chose not to make an additional run at a receiver, they chose not to do this, they chose not to do that. I was like, all right, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. You know, you know more. But the fact is that I keep giving this team the benefit of the doubt, saying like, oh, well, maybe you're right. And they keep being wrong over and over and over again. So why should you feel like happy? I mean, or why should you believe the Jets are headed in the right direction? I'm just going to give you the same song and dance to, like, you know, it's the stupid, like, organizational company line. Like, oh, you have everyone pulling in the right direction. Oh, you have a coach that's motivated people. Oh, you have a young quarterback that can make really impressive throws. Eventually, man, and what I've gotten to in this is, like, just freaking show me now. Like, win football games. Like, it's almost like the Joe Judge. Like, I watched some of that Giants game, and, like, Joe Judge is like, don't worry, we're going to get this right. You know, it's, don't worry, we're going to turn this around. It's like, well, why should people believe you? Because you guys won 5 or 6 games last year. Now you're 1-5 this year. Like, okay, like, yeah, we're headed in the right direction. Look at all the draft picks we have. Look at all the draft picks we've acquired. Well, yeah, you're right. You've acquired a lot of draft picks. You've done a really good job acquiring picks. But draft picks are like this odd anomaly where, like, they are never worth more than when, like, they are not used. And then as soon as they're used, like, the Jets drafted Mekhi Becton, like, as a rookie, right? Like, when they drafted him, Mekhi Becton. Like, the day after the draft, it's like a used car. Like, or a new car that you drive off the lot. Like, the Jets drafted Mekhi Becton 11th overall. The day after the draft, they could not get a first-round pick for him. Like, no one would have traded. It's, like, it's weird. Like, it's weird with the draft. Like, you have this new car. It's like, oh, my God, look at this new car. You drive it off the lot, and, like, it's immediately done. Right? It's weird. So, yeah, they've acquired all these draft picks. They have all these draft picks. But, like, they don't mean shit unless you hit on them. And if you look at, like, what the Jets did in their first draft, what Joe Douglas did in his first draft, if he does that over the next 2 years, the Jets aren't suddenly going to be studs. Like, Mekhi Becton, there's legitimate questions there. Denzel Mims can't get on the field. Ashton Davis just got back on the field. LaMichael Perine, Jabari Zuniga, they're guys that are Jabari Zuniga's on the practice squad, and Ashton Davis just got activated, and LaMichael Perine can't even get active. So he's on the 53, but he can't get active. And James Morgan, a fourth-round pick, he's on another roster, so on another roster's practice squad. So if they go through and use all these draft picks on players that turn into that production, the Jets are going to keep being trash. So I don't know, man. I mean, just Dan's a Jets fan, so just hope your team eventually turns it around. But I honestly don't have anything to say like, oh, this is why. Because all of the things that the Jets are preaching is why it's different this time or why it's going to be turned around. It's all stuff you've seen before. And so it's like, I'm at the point now where it's like, just show me. Start winning games. Start legitimately competing. Show me a quarterback that, like, looks like Herbert did or Tua did at times last year, or, like, really shows, like, legitimate promise. And I haven't seen that yet. So, I mean, I'm not going to sell you false hope. I'm not going to be the snake oil salesman. You know what I mean? So we'll see.
All right, a lot more questions to get to, but first we have to take a short break.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right, let's get back to the mailbag. I just noticed Elijah Moore's in the chat. Probably not the Elijah Moore, but nice of him to check in. All right, Connor, this kind of goes back to what we were just talking about and the draft picks and the need to hit on the draft picks. This one from SK says, do you think Joe Douglas and other management are secretly wanting to tank this year for key pieces to add while developing their young team? Or as a team, is that a counterproductive practice? As a new fan, I'd love to see the progress from a young team, but still get a top five pick.
That's a tough ask. No, it's not like, no. The only time you see a team that's going to be interested in, or they're never going to say it publicly, but secretly interested in, where they're not necessarily hating the losses, is when you're looking to get a quarterback, is when you're looking to draft a quarterback. So the Jets last year, for example, the Jets in 2017, where they were tanking to get Sam in 2018, the Jacksonville Jaguars last year, the Houston Texans to an extent this year, when you don't have a quarterback, and you are in contention for a top pick and a potential game-changing quarterback, that's when suddenly those losses don't sting as much after you get through the halfway point. That's when suddenly you've got your eyes not focused on a playoff run or a divisional run or anything like that, but you've got your eyes focused on the NFL draft and trying to get yourself a quarterback. The Jets are not in a position right now where they want that. What they want to see is growth from the number of young players that they have on their roster. They want to see signs that Zach Wilson is the franchise quarterback they envisioned when they made him the number two overall pick. They want to see the steps forward. They want to see that they're going in the right direction. They want me to be able to answer the question that we just were asked, that Dan asked, like, where he was like, oh, what signs should I know the Jets are in the right direction? I can't give any right now, which is not a great sign because they just look headed for another top five pick. Ideally, the Jets this year would have won 6, 7, or 8 games. You know, they would have won, they would have competed in all of them. They would have stolen some games within the division. They would have beaten some teams that maybe slept on them. They would have had Zach Wilson looking like a player that could potentially win Rookie of the Year. You know, that's what they wanted to see, and they wanted to win games. I mean, they had no ill-advised thoughts of, like, we're going to be a playoff team or we're going to win a divisional title, but they still wanted to be competitive. They still wanted to be in every single game. They still wanted to see signs that the young quarterback they drafted is, in fact, going to be a franchise quarterback. That's the goal for this year. Once you draft a quarterback, that becomes this goal. That becomes what this season's all about. So no, it's not secretly hoping they tank. I mean, the teams that the Jets are hoping stink and the Jets hoping they keep losing are the Panthers because they have their second round pick and the Seahawks because they have their first round pick. So those are teams the Jets want to see lose every single week. But after drafting Zach, that's not what they want. That's not what they're looking to do. No.
Okay, we did get a question about when Joe Douglas is going to speak, but because the bye week's so early, you did mention, Connor, that he should speak midway through the season. So when he does that, we will obviously have full coverage on the Can't Wait podcast. But this question is from Frankie J on Twitter. What scenario is more likely outcome? May gets traded by the deadline or the Jets trade for a tight end by the deadline?
See, this is where it's like, it's tough because I don't necessarily know yet. I've seen the rumors, right? I read about the rumors. They were that Marcus May could go for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Marcus May, like something like that. Like I saw a Marcus May for OJ Howard deal. Somebody tweeted me about it. Like that was like a rumor that was circulating, was that the Jets could trade. The Jets could go ahead and trade Marcus May with something else and they could get, or Marcus May and they could get OJ Howard, because odds are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are not going to re-sign OJ Howard. OJ Howard's a pretty good talented player, so the Jets could get him in their building, have basically 8 weeks to evaluate him, then decide if they want to extend him or not next year because he's on the final year of his contract. The Marcus May situation became significantly more clouded after that DUI, because he's going to get suspended. I mean, it's just the NFL has to complete their evaluation. The legal process has to go through, but he's going to get suspended. It's going to happen. Like, especially because he also didn't report the suspension to the league or to the Jets. So that's adding to the fact that he's definitely going to get suspended. It's just going to happen probably the beginning of last year. So if you're a team, you're going to give up. I mean, the Jets are going to want a significant draft pick. Like, they're going to want something impressive. So, or not like a throwaway, like, sixth round or seventh round. Like, they're going to want a 4. They're going to want a 5 at least for Marcus May. So, if you're another team, again, all these draft picks are worth so much more before you actually use them. So, if you're another team that's looking for Marcus May. Are you going to give up a fourth or a fifth round pick for a player that is now coming off an ankle injury, was not playing particularly well before the ankle injury, is kind of limited in that he's really just a free safety. He doesn't have much success or ability to play within the box. He's just like your deep center fielder. You have to pay him after the season. He wants to be paid substantial money after the season, at least what he got on the franchise tag this year. And if you pay him, you know, odds are he's probably going to miss four games or so to start next season. I don't see him as a player that really has that much value, despite what Eric Burkhardt says, despite what some people might say, like, oh, teams want, like, yeah, I mean, if you're a team, you'll give up like a seven for Marcus May, because even if you're just getting him as a rental, it's like, all right, well, we gave up a seventh round pick for a guy that's going to immediately check in as a starter, probably be better than what we have right now and help solidify our secondary. But it, are the Jets really going to pass with, are really going to let Marcus go for a seven for a six? No, I think, I mean, at the worst, I could see maybe a five, at worst, maybe a four. Like, I think that's what the Jets would want. And I don't know. It's tough. That's a tough one for me to see. The one that honestly I could see more, and I think the Jets could get a little bit more value for him. I think he can contribute a little bit more to a team, and I think a team might be more willing to go out there and get him, is actually Crowder. I think Jameson Crowder is the guy that if I were the Jets, I would be shopping a little heavier. And if I were another team, I'd be more interested in going and getting him, because Crowder is a very good slot receiver. He's somebody who is a quarterback's best friend. He's somebody who can check in and help another team. And if you're the Jets, trading Crowder would open up that slot position to either play Elijah Moore, who's better in the slot, or a player in Braxton Berrios, who the Jets are just infatuated with and love and believe is one of their best receivers. So I just, the May one, I have trouble seeing it happen. Like, when it, before the DUI, I could totally see it. Like, the ankle injury, I don't think would impact it that much. I'm like, yeah, because, you know, he'll get back for the Patriots game. You'll see him still play. He can get the clean bill of health. He'll still pass a physical. He'll be fine. But after the DUI and knowing that he's, the suspension is going to be coming next year, I just don't, I don't know what the point is for the Jets of letting him go, because he's still a leader within the locker room. He's still somebody who helps your defense. You still do need safeties. You're still not a better team without him than you are with him. And for the pick you're going to get, I wouldn't say it's not going to happen, but it is a deal where it's not as cut and dry or as easy as it would be before. And the second part of that question, where someone asked about trading for a tight end, it's like, who are you going to go and get? You know, I don't think Joe Douglas clearly is not somebody who deals away draft picks. It's not what he does. And the Jets defense, or the Jets roster, I should say, doesn't have that many players that are expendable that other teams would want. You would see Jameson Crowder as one. You would say, obviously, Marcus May is one. The Jets are not going to trade Jared Davis. That's clear after what we talked to Robert Saleh earlier this week, where he said, or last week, I should say, before the Jets left for the bye, where he said this guy's going to be a starter and be a starter and playing starter reps once he's ready. I think the Jets tight end's either going to be coming in the draft or in free agency next year. I don't necessarily see it happening during the draft, unless, you know, maybe they do swing that thing for OJ Howard.
The other thing you got to be careful with trading these players away, especially a guy like May, who's a leader, is what it does for that clubhouse, right? And that chemistry. There's a long way to go in this season. You don't want things to spiral negatively beyond what's already happening on the field at times. All right, next question is from Carl Wilms. What player has surprised you the most this season, good or bad?
Well, the entire secondary, honestly. I'll go the secondary top to bottom. Bryce Hall, Brandon Echols, Mike Carter, Javelin Guidry. I mean, this was a secondary that I thought was going to be historically bad. After what I saw throughout the offseason, after what I saw in training camp, this was a cornerback, safety, just secondary as a whole, that I thought was just going to be absolutely demolished by teams week in and week out. The quarterbacks were just going to pick at them. And you know, one of the reasons I felt that way was watching those joint practices with the Packers. And I know Aaron Rodgers is unreal. I know that offense is great and spectacular and all that stuff. But it was the way in which Aaron Rodgers beat that secondary. It was, he just slanted the Jets to death. He just quick passed the Jets to death. I mean, it was a quarterback that got rid of the ball before the secondary could get home. Or before the pass rush could, it was a quarterback who got rid of the ball before the pass rush could get home, and there were players just running wide open. And I'm like, man, every team's going to do that once the season starts. Like, every single team that plays the Jets is going to do that. And the way that Hall has elevated his play, the way that Echols has elevated his play, the way that Carter has elevated his play, and Javelin Guidry as well, when he's checked in to play outside, inside, nickel and dime, it's been the most surprising development of players. And part of it, I think, has to do with the style of man coverage that the Jets play. Part of it has to do with coaching. A large part of it has to do also with the Jets' pass rush, which has been better than what, I mean, you expected it to be pretty good, and it has been even better than that. But as far as surprises go, by my point, man, it's the secondary. It is the way that they have played and the way that they have performed has been so above expectations. And I mean, forget like even just not being awful. They've been pretty decent. Like, I wouldn't say great. I wouldn't say awesome yet, but like they, compared to how bad they were, it is a group that has performed so wildly above expectations that that is awesome. I mean, it's a competent, solid, decent group. And I never would have thought that would have been the case after training camp.
Okay, this next question is from Peter Weinstock. Is there a vocal leader on the offense? Seems to be an issue, especially with a rookie QB / OC. Obviously, Mosley is the leader on the defense.
Yeah, they have more, but I mean, not even just Mosley. It's John Franklin Myers is a guy who talks a lot. You know, there's Foley Fatukasi is a guy who talks a lot. I mean, there's a number of players on there. Vinnie Curry, who's not even playing right now, but is in all the meetings, is somebody that every single defensive player talks about as a leader and somebody that they listen to and think basically a coach now because he's not playing. Offensively, I don't know if necessarily there's that rah-rah vocal guy. I mean, you have Corey Davis, who I think is stepping into that role. You have Zach Wilson, who talks, but I mean, a lot of the guys I think are that will speak up are on actually the offensive line. I mean, Greg Van Roten's more of a vocal guy. George Fant is more of a vocal guy. I mean, there are players there, but I also don't think you necessarily need the like rah-rah screaming yelling on both sides of the ball. I mean, as long as there's a couple on the team, you're set and fine. I mean, I'm trying to think about like true rah-rah. Like there was, I remember Michael Strahan was like always like a huge rah, like huge emotional, like passionate leader for the Giants. It was never that player on the offensive side of the ball. Like, it was kind of more subdued, and that still worked for them, and that was fine. I mean, I know Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes are two quarterbacks that are much more vocal, but you don't necessarily need that because there's plenty of quarterbacks that have immense success that aren't the screaming, yelling guys. You know what I mean? So I don't look at and think of that as an issue. I mean, the Jets have plenty of issues right now. They've got plenty of problems. I don't think the lack of, like, a superstar stud offensive player who is also screaming and yelling and chanting and firing up and fiery and passionate vocally from what you see is this team's issue right now on the offensive side of the ball. I don't.
More questions to come, but first we get to take another break.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Back to the mailbag we go. And the next one's from Mike Williams. He says, hey, not saying he's the perfect example, but seeing ex-Jets make plays yesterday, such as the Luvu blocked punt, what is one player you covered while they were on the Jets that you felt like they were too quick to cut bait with? Plenty of options there, Connor.
Huh. I gotta think about that one. It's funny because, like, there are a couple, like, there's obviously, like, Brandon Schell is out there starting in Seattle. And, you know, Justin Burris is a corner who, like, is random. Like, he was, like, a Maccagnan cast-off that's kind of gone on to do, actually have a decent career for himself.
You could throw Robbie Anderson into the conversation, Robbie too. Anderson, I mean, granted, well, he was a free agent, but he was a guy that wanted to
Robbie,
stay.
Robbie, by the way, has been awful this year.
Right.
Like, Robbie's done diddly-poo. Like this season for the Panthers. Like, I remember I looked it up. I was like, I think, yeah, he caught 5 passes against the Cowboys, but then like 2 against the Eagles, 3 against the Vikings. Like, he has not been good this year. What's his numbers? He's got, where are we here? Robbie Anderson, 15 catches for 190 yards and 2 touchdowns, and 57 yards, and one of those touchdowns came on one catch against the Jets. Other than that, I mean, he's been bad. Like, he's on pace for like career lows in virtually everything, despite the fact he's playing all the time. But you could throw him into the mix. I think he's probably one that was given up on a little too early. But I understood why the Jets, like, it was explained to me why the Jets gave up on him. And it was that, you know, they thought his market was going to be like $14, $15 million. They never thought he would sign for what he did, which, you know, Joe Douglas has said, we had to change the way that we view free agencies and change the way that we view, that sort of, like, we had to evaluate our players as we were off there, because the Jets would have re-signed Robbie for what he got. They just didn't want to give him $13, $14 because, you know, he's a player that, you know, when he's not the number one target, he tends to zone off on routes, and he runs with a questionable crowd in Florida that they were worried about him getting in trouble and suspensions taking him off the field. But I think two that immediately come to mind that the Jets let go that they should not have, because it would have kept things stable for significantly longer, were Andre Roberts and Jason Myers. The kick returner, punt returner, who made all pros for the Jets, and then they let walk in free agency and didn't want to pay. They were two guys that, if you think about the turnstile at kicker that the Jets have had since they let Myers go, I mean, Myers has developed into a really good kicker. And the Jets' worry was that his season with him was a flash in the pan, and it wasn't. Then you think about the number of the lack of difference makers the Jets have had at punt and kick returner since letting Andre Roberts go. He was, again, a player that wasn't going to cost you too much money, could also fill in at receiver and could sit there and be a kick returner. So, you know, I'm not going to fault the Jets for trading Leonard Williams, although he's kind of now started to find a home for himself with the Giants. And, you know, Sheldon Richardson was another player they traded. And there's been other guys that have come in the room and left. But the two that I think that just would have been the one that I'm like, you guys should have just brought him back. And I understood why they didn't, but still, you should have brought him back. Aside from Robbie, which is the obvious one, if you want to go for like the two less obvious ones, for me, it's Jason Myers and Andre Roberts. Those are two players that I think the Jets just, they should have brought back. You know, they really should have, and I was surprised that they didn't. And the other one, too, that was a massive mistake, now that I can't believe I forgot him, that, you know, he had the year with the Jets, and it was an unbelievable year. And in the Jets' opinion, they were like, oh, well, this is just a flash in the pan year, and it didn't work out. And he's actually developed into not only just a leader, but one of the best players at his position in the NFL is DeMario Davis. You know, when the Jets basically trade Calvin Pryor for him. And they get him back in here, and DeMario has the year that he did with the Jets, and he was just, I mean, he was dominant. He suddenly could cover. He could suddenly make plays in the, he was a pass rusher. He made plays in the run. He was obviously the leader. I mean, he was a dominant player when he came back to the Jets. And the Jets let him walk, and they replaced him with Avery Williamson. And DeMario went to the Saints, and he has become just a dominant, game-changing player. Him, I actually would put him higher on the list than Andre Roberts and Jason Myers. DeMario Davis, and then obviously Andre Roberts and Jason Myers. Those guys as a cluster of players that, you know, never should have left the building.
All right, Connor, final question. This question comes from Parth on Twitter. Now let's put our draft hats on. If the Jets use both of their firsts this year, what positions do you see them targeting? I know that's early, but not too early to talk about the draft for the Jets, right?
Yeah, I think it's going to come now. I haven't started draft prep at all. I'll be honest with you. I've been putting it back. My editor was actually, I just had a call with Allison, my editor today. And we were talking about, like, all right, look, the Jets are 1-4. What are we doing the rest of the way here? And I was like, I'm focusing on this season as long as we can. I don't want to start going the free agency draft route until we absolutely have to, which we're probably 3 bad losses away from going full focus on the draft. Right now, the positions that I would say, and this is without me knowing who the top players in college football are. This is without me saying, like, all right, this is who the Jets could target. the biggest positions of need that I think the Jets still have, I could see cornerback. I could see another offensive lineman, because Morgan Moses might not be back next year. They can move on from George Fant. And if you want to keep building that wall, absolutely. Pass rusher, because I'm telling you, you can never rule out as many pass rushers. Look at what the 49ers did, and that's absolutely there. But I would think cornerback. I would think pass rusher. I could see an offensive lineman or the other two. And I don't think there's like a Kyle. From what I did do some reading on this, is I don't think there's like a Kyle Pitts in this year's draft. So I don't think there's a tight end that's going to be worthy of a top 10 pick. I think the Jets will probably go tight end with one of those second rounders. But it also wouldn't surprise me if they went and they got a receiver. And the reasoning, my thought process for that is if there's like a, with one, not with maybe their first round pick, but one of those two first round picks, because that could give you like a legitimate player that you think is going to be a number one receiver outside. You then have Corey Davis out opposite him. You then have Elijah Moore in the slot. You have a tight end you can draft in the second round, use another first round pick on that offensive lineman, and suddenly you're in really good shape. I mean, because that would be an offensive line that you have first round pick left tackle, first round pick left guard, a first round pick that you use at either right guard or right tackle, depending on who you end up selecting there. You have Elijah Moore, a second round pick, Corey Davis, a free agent signing, a first round pick of receiver, and you can have a second round pick of tight end. That's, and then plus you talk about the running back stable, which the Jets will just, you know, they like Michael Carter, but there, I don't think they're ever going to invest like a first round pick in a running back or even a second round pick in a running back. Like they'll sign a veteran to pair with Carter and do something like that. So I think that suddenly gives you an offense that people can be afraid of, and then you can focus on basically what you've got off Bryce Hall and what you've got off Michael Carter. I think those two cornerback positions are pretty good. I mean, you can, if there's a dominant, like number one, no doubt corner that you want to go get, I could see that too. But also I can see the Jets just adding a veteran in free agency and then going safeties in free and building your defense is fine right now. You want to keep working on that offense. And I think adding another offensive lineman, adding a tight end and adding a receiver could do that a lot for this grouping. And you're going to have three pretty good picks to start off with the two first round picks in the second rounder. So if you go any variation of offensive lineman, receiver, tight end, I think you're in pretty good shape.
All right. Thank you so much for all the great questions. We like doing the mailbag every once in a while. The bye week is always the perfect time. Before we say goodbye, though, play that music that we'll eventually have, because Connor's going to talk about golf.
There we go. So I know we got 2 minutes here. So I know Tim, you said you had a hard out at 10 a.m. So I want to make sure that
you
get this done.
You can take 4 minutes.
4 minutes. All right. There we go. I don't want Mrs. McMaster and Baby McMaster to hate me already. So I played a round of golf on Saturday with, and I joined this country club, the Cobblestone Creek, which I like so far, but I haven't played with anyone. So I've been trying to like make friends that I can have like golfing friends. So when I play during the week, I can go with them. So for the first time, I did this little selection when I got my tee time of like play with two people, and I got paired with a dad and his son, both really, really nice guys. So we're on like the fourth hole, it's a par five, and the guy that I'm playing with, his son, sliced a ball into like the wooded area on the right. So as a gentleman and a scholar, I was like, I'm going to go help this guy go find his golf ball, right? Like I'm going to go help him get his golf ball. So walk over there because I'm carrying my bag. I'm like, well, as I'm looking for his ball, I'm not going to carry around this bag the whole time. So I take my bag off, put it on the ground, and then keep walking around looking for his ball. After like 2-3 minutes, the guy goes, I'm just going to take a drop the ball, go on and move on with my life. I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to give one more lap. So I walk by my bag again and I keep like go to walk past it. And I feel like a thorn or like a sticker, almost like I walked past a sticker bush. But then it goes from like that initial like scraping pain to this searing, horrific, like I just got stabbed pain. Like, I mean, I've been stung by a bumblebee before. I've been stung by like that, the bee, like the honeybee. Like, this was not like that. I told Bree this. Like, this was literally like I got stabbed. And I'm like, holy crap. So I look down at, like, my right leg where, like, I feel the pain. And I see this black hornet just going to town on my ankle. I mean, it's not like a bee that stings and run away. This thing's like, pow, 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 like, just going. So I'm like, holy crap. So I take my hand, I swat it, and I get it, and it dies. And I'm like, hold. So like, I kind of like run away from where I was. I kind of like jog, stumble away. I'm like, holy, like that freaking hurt. Like that, I felt pain. And I'm not somebody who doesn't usually handle pain that well, surprisingly. This was one where I was like, holy crap, like that hurt a lot. So I look at the guy that I'm playing with, the guy whose ball I was trying to find. I'm like, oh man, I was like, yo me a beer. I just got stung by a bee looking for your ball. And the guy starts laughing at me. He goes, oh, I got you, man. I got you. And then all of a sudden his face goes like white. expression drops off. And I'm like, what's wrong? And he points at my bag and he goes, look. And I look at my bag and I'm not kidding you. When I put my bag down on the ground, I put it on top of a hornet's nest. So
it's your fault.
Yeah, I slammed my head down. Like, basically, I went genocide on, like, this entire, like, home of hornets. And they all are, I mean, there's 60 of them just swarming the bottom of my bag. And it's just, they're going and going and going. And I'm like, now I'm like, holy hell, what do I do? It was 80 degrees on Saturday. I'm in short sleeves and a short sleeve polo and shorts. And I'm like, I got to get my bag. So my first inclination, like, brilliant, you know, scientific Connor guy, is that I was carrying coffee. So I was like, all right, take off the lid of the coffee, throw the coffee at the hornets. They will disperse, and then I can sprint in, grab my bag, and sprint out. So that was game plan one. Threw it in there, did not work. The hornets don't do anything. If anything, got a little wet, started zooming around and going after it again. I'm like, God damn it, that didn't work. So luckily, to make a longer story a little bit shorter, is that the guy had a quarter zip on. All right, so he goes, here, take my quarter zip. So I took the quarter zip, kind of bumbled it around my neck, and then what I did was I ran into the swarm of hornets, grabbed the top of my bag because most of them were on the bottom. Like there were only five or six at the top. Grabbed the top of the bag with my two hands, sprinted like 5 yards, dropped it, then ran like another 10 yards just to like get away. Then went back, dragged it 5 more yards, then sprinted again, hoping that like the further I got my bag away from the nest, they would go back to their crushed home to like, I assumed like hornets are like bees where they have a queen. Like, go try to find their queen and save their queen, who I probably, like, made two-dimensional. And, like, I could just keep taking my bag away. And the method did sort of work. The issue was, like, the five that were swarming around the top followed me. And then I got stung, like, on the inside of my leg. I got stung, like, 2 times on my left ankle. I got stung another few times on my right. I mean, I ended up getting, it was about five or six spots of stings. Like, but then those same spots were hit, like, 3 or 4 times each, because like those bastards don't stop. Like those hornets, they just go like bang, bang, bang. But I will say I separated my club from the clubs from the stuff, and I finished the round of golf. I didn't end up out. When I got home, my ankle was like the size of a watermelon, which wasn't great. And you know, obviously I used it to try it for sympathy, like points with Bree, like I need to be taken care of now. I'm an injured person. I was attacked by a wild animal, all that stuff. But yeah, that was my my golf story from Saturday. Yeah. No, I still, I'll tell you this though. I would prefer getting attacked by hornets to that caddy that I experienced.
I was gonna say the streets. Hornets were still nicer to you than the caddy.
Yeah, the hornets were nicer to me than the freaking caddy. Yeah, I'll tell you what though, man. There is no worse feeling than looking over and just seeing the hornets, and you're like, there's 60 of them, and I'm like, how am I supposed to get my bag? Like, how am I supposed to get this? Like, how am I supposed to get my bag? And the running in and dragging, but like I'm telling you, man, like bumblebees and like bees, like they sting, like it's like a pinch. Like, I don't know if you've ever been stung before. Like, yep. It's like a pinch.
Yeah, this hornets
was
are
not
worse.
Like a pinch. This was literally like I got stabbed. Like, it was bad. Like, it hurt a lot. So I didn't even play well. Like, my back, I was actually playing pretty well at that point. On my back nine, I imploded, and it's just, it was a bad day. Bad day. Yeah. Mistakes were made.
Well, glad you're not allergic. That's for sure.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing, too, is I had no idea if I was or not. So, like, the guy goes, are you allergic to bee stings? I was like, I think I was stung once when I was a kid. Like, once I got stung by a bee when I was a kid. And that's what I'm saying. It felt like a pinch, and I was fine. I was like, but everything I've heard about bees is that if you get stung by a bee, it can, like, hit you later on in life. Like, you can, like, you can get stung once and be fine, and then, like, later on you can get... So I've always taken that approach of, like, I'd rather not get stung because I don't know. Now I got peppered, like, 15 times by stings, and I'm like, the guy said to me, he goes, are you allergic? I was like, we're going to find out if I pass out in the fairway in 5 minutes. I was like, I got no idea. I was like, we're going to find. Apparently, I was fine. Like I said, I finished the round. I told my father-in-law that, too. I was like, yeah, I got destroyed by hornets. He goes, are you allergic? I was like, well, it happened on hole 5, and I'm on hole 12, so I think I'm through the clearing. I think we're good. But yeah, this is what happens. I try to make friends at the country club, and I get attacked by hornets instead.
All right. Well, until the next golf story from Connor, we are going to take a break here on the Can't Wait podcast. The season gets going again, of course, after the bye week this weekend. We will set you up and get you ready for the Patriots game coming up later this week on the podcast. Thanks for everybody for watching and listening. You can save 50% off a 1-year subscription to The Athletic. Go to theathletic.com/can't wait. We'll talk to you again later this week. We can't wait.
Hey, hey. Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.